We're beginning the eighth perek of our Masechta on Ayin Amud Beis at the bottom. Most of what we've been learning in Masechta Zvachim so far is what the Gemara calls earlier in the Masechta Hilchos Mashicha. These are halachas that we're not able to do now, but the Karev Mamash will have a third base mikdash and we'll be able to actually do all of them, although we actually have, you know, like this, for example, we dealt at great length with the details of Pigul. The Alter Rebbe points out in Tanya and Kuntas Achron that it's one thing when you have matters of Isser, the Heter, then you have those source for them in Klippus, and therefore we have to learn them in order to refine those Klippus. What about things like details of Pigul that may never happen? Where exactly is their source in, what exactly are we accomplishing by learning them? But in any case, we do. But most of them are not things that apply nowadays. So right now it says Jurosh Vekabel Schar, but here our Perek now, the official name of it is Kol Hazvachim, which is the same as the first and second Perekim, but the Rishonim actually call it Perek HaTaruvus, because it talks about all kinds of dinim of mix-ups between animals of Korbanos, mix-ups between pieces of Korbanos and blood of Korbanos, and so on and so forth, and therefore that has a lot of implications as far as mix-ups in matters of kashrus, in matters of mixing up things that are also bahana with things that are also bahana that get mixed up with things that aren't, things that for that apostle and not immediately evident that get mixed up with things that are. For example, a lot of hilchos taruvus in Shulchan Aruch and a lot of other areas in halacha that where things get mixed up, a lot of them are sourced in our perek. So the Mishnah starts off to take one issue that posts can deal with is, let's say, for example, you have Sifrei Torah that got mixed up. You have one, you have apostle one, and a bunch of kosher ones, and you're not sure which one is which could be, for example, the psul can be something not visible, for example, that the names of Hashem were not written in the Shema, or it can be that there is, in fact, a visible psul, but you can't find it. You have 300,000 odd letters in the Sefer Torah, and there's one thing wrong, and you don't remember which one it is. So Achronim talk about various angles in that, when we would say that we can be mevatel it, and that it's able to be bottled, and when. So the Mishnah starts it. If any korbanos got mixed up with Hatoris Hamesis. So Hatoris Hamesis, we talked about before. Hatoris Hamesis, we've talked about before. These are five cases where an animal was supposed to have the Kedusha of a Chatos and is not being brought for one reason or another. You have Vlad Chatos, you have a Chatos is almost always a female animal, so it's possible for it to be pregnant and give birth. So if it gives birth, then that baby has the Kedusha of a Chatos, subject to, we'll learn in the Masechta Tzemuda next year, Be'ez Hashem, we'll talk about different conditions when it does and doesn't have Kedusha, but in any case, the point is that there are cases where it has the Kedusha of Chatos, but you can't bring it as one because the person already was Yotze, his Chatos. So that's one of the Chatoris HaMesis. It has to be left to die. It's Allah HaLamosh Mishinai that some or all of these cases have to be left to die. The Gemara in Tzemura discusses it in some detail. Anyway, you have that. You have Chatos Shemesu Baaleha, where the owner died before being able to bring the Chatos. We touched on that earlier in the Masechta. Tmura Skatas, where you made a Tmura, where the Torah tells us you're not allowed to make a Tmura, but if you did, then Bahoyahu, Tmurasi, Yakodesh, both of them have Kedusha. And in the case of a Chatas, again, you can't bring the Tmura because you were already Yotze with the one that you designated originally. Then you have Shekipru Ba'aleha, where the owner took another animal and brought it for his chatos, and now the original one was found. So Rashi also adds, regular Rashi printed by the side of the Gemara, not Rashi Ksav Yad, also says the Sha'ogda Venimsis Balas Mum, if it was lost and found to be a Balas Mum, there's different Girsois, because that's actually a subset of the fourth one when the animal was lost, and then it was found, and meanwhile he had been escaped with another one. There's another case that Rashi doesn't mention, which is Ovra Shnosa, which is where the animal is over, where the animal also was lost, but then by the time you found it, it's over a year old. A regular person's chatas has to be an animal under a year old. In any case, all those are called chatoris hamesis. All of those is you can't bring them as a korban, but you can't be poja them either. You just have to lock them up in a room and eventually they die. So now you have a korban that got mixed up with chatoris hamesis. Now the surface wording of the Mishnah seems to suggest that you have one korban that got mixed up with many chatoris hamesis. The Gemara is going to explain that it's actually the other way around. You have one chatoris hamesa that got mixed up with many animals of korbanus. Anyway, oy b'shur haniskol, or another case would be where a korban got mixed up with a shur haniskol, with a shur that killed somebody, and there were edim in the whole 9 yards, and now it has to be killed, it has to be given skila in Beis Din. So now if korbanos got mixed up with it, then again you have, and then again, the point is in both those cases the other animals are also b'hanah, the chatoris hamesis and the shur haniskol are both also b'hanah. So then, afilu achas v'ribo, even if it's one mixed with 10,000, yamusiv kulan, all of them have to be left to die because they're not botel. Because they're not botel, because animals are choshev enough that they're not botel, and we want to make sure he's not going to bring the possible, we want to make sure he's not going to bring the possible one as a korban. Tosfos discusses a couple of points in this. First of all, here, first of all, we're talking about animals. We're going to have, at the end of Seder Kodeshim, we're going to have Masechta Kinim that talks about mix-ups involving birds. And you have many cases there also where we have many cases over there where birds get mixed up, and you also have to leave them to die. Our Perek is dealing with animals. There we're talking about birds. Tosfos points out that the fact is you can't really derive one from the other. If you had on Mishnah that tells us about animals, then you would say, you know what, animals are hefsid meruba. Maybe we shouldn't leave a whole bunch of them to die when, after all, each animal is worth quite a bit, as opposed to birds. Okay, listen, how much is a bird worth already? So we need to be told that it applies to animals, and then it's like, the Tzon Kodshim adds the other way around. And if we only said it by animals, you would say, you know why? Because animals, being so choshev, they're not going to be bottled. But birds, maybe are less choshev, maybe ones that are possible can be bottled among ones that are kosher, and therefore we have Masechta Kinim that tells us that not. So we need to be told in both places. Anyway, Tosfos also gets into a very long discussion over here about why it is. So we're saying afilo achas b'ribo yamusa kulan, even if it's one mixed with 10,000, then they all have to be left to die. Now the Gemara is going to explain again that we don't mean, even though the wording of the Mishnah makes it sound like you have one kosher animal that got mixed up with 10,000 no good ones, so then there's not a chiddush, or then it's not a chiddush. Of course, it's more than bottle. It means the other way around. One fossil one got mixed up with 10,000 animals that are kosher korbanos. Rashi also points out further on that you can't just sell them. Because you can't just sell them. So you have two problems. First of all, you have a problem that one of them is osa b'hana. But second of all, so you can't even wait until they develop a mum, and you can't do them when they're tumim for another reason as well, because one or more of them, after all, is a korban, and a korban that is tumim, you can't be poser. You have to wait till it develops a mum, and to wait till it develops a mum, you also can't do, because then anyway, one or more of them is osa b'hana. Anyway, Tosfos gets into a very long discussion of these dinim, of when would we say that animals can be bottle among others and when not. There's a Gemara elsewhere that talks about that one ox was mixed with a bunch of other oxen, and it talks about, and you have different gusos. Are we talking about that you have an ox that loy nigmo dino, that the verdict has not been given yet, was mixed up with other oxen, or what's the status of those other oxen? Are they also Are they perfectly good oxen who never did anything wrong, or are they also ones that are they ones that nigmarginan? Are they ones that have already been determined? The verdict has already been made that they need to be given skila, but this particular one has not. So Tosfos discusses that point. In the course of the discussion, Tosfos also points out sometimes you do have, even when you have animals mixed up together, not always are we going to say that they can't be bottled. Sometimes we can actually, we do after all have a concept of things being bottled b'roiv, and in particular, now what you have is many times, the Gemara says in a few places, when they're all in the same place where the suffix came up in the first place, then you have something called kavua, or kavua k'mechzal mechzadami. When you have something that's fixed in its place, then we don't consider, even in our case over here, we're talking about one shura nisko, or one chatois amesis, among 10,000 korbanos, we wouldn't say it's one in 10,000, we would say it's considered 50-50 lahalacha, because all of them are kavua. However, the Gemara mentions elsewhere a concept called shinu denidam. We can force them to move around, and now they're not kavua anymore, now they're not fixed in place, and therefore we can talk about bitul. So Tosfos actually talks about over here, because here it's different, that we have korbanos involved, and we're concerned, the Gemara is going to mention in a few dafim, we're concerned that the kohenim may end up not doing that, they may end up not having the animals move around, and they're going to take one of these animals and bring it as a korban, and it turns out it was possible to bring. So for that reason is why we're saying you're musaf for them, but when it's not a matter of korbanos, then that doesn't necessarily follow, so therefore, so Tosfos quotes from Rabbeinu Tam, that suppose you have one animal that was that became trefa, and it got mixed up with a roiv of other animals, then it might be mutter because then all you need to do is you have them move around, and then we can say that it's bottle b'roiv, and maybe you don't have issues of korbanos, and Tosfos goes and discusses that whole point at great length, whether in fact that will work. Tosfos says it doesn't really. Tosfos or the later Balei Tosfos argue. Yes. On Rabbeinu Tam and says that doesn't necessarily work to say that it would be bottle in a case like that, only where it's set seka. So Tosfos has a long discussion about various ins and outs of this point. One interesting thing Tosfos also brings up in the course of that whole discussion is when we're talking about it, we hear a shura miskol. Now, the Gemara tells us in a number of places that a shura miskol is also b'ana. So we learn from the pasuk, it says that you have to give the animal skila, below your ochalos psori, you're not allowed to eat its flesh. So the question is, if you're giving it skila, of course you can't eat it, it's an ad shita, it's nevela. So the answer is, it means that even if you shechted it, it's still also, once nigmar dinar, then it's still also to eat and also to have hana from. However, Tosfos discusses over here, and in a few other places in Shas, that not necessarily does that issue apply while the animal is alive. So it's true that the animal has been, the verdict has been given, the animal killed, the ra'edim, etc., and therefore we have to put it to death, but until we put it, we have to do that as soon as possible, it is true, but nevertheless, until we actually do that, the animal is not actually osur b'hana, just that if you sheft it, then yes, the meat will be osur. And Tosfos points out that has certain implications as far as these dinim that we're talking about over here, like bittul and all that. Okay, continues the mission. So far what we're saying is, again, if they got mixed up with an animal that's also b'ana, so then we're saying Yomusu Kulon, all of them have to be left to die because the rest of them are also b'ana, because some of them are also b'ana, so we can't deploy to them, we can't wait till they develop a mum or anything like that, so therefore Yomusu Kulon. Next. Yis'aru b'shur shenevda b'y aveira. What about if korbanos are mixed up with animals that are not also b'hana, but are also to bring as a korban? So they got mixed up with an ox with which an aveda was done, namely it was used for bestiality. Rashi over here says the expression that it got mixed up echad be'echad, that it got mixed up one in one, meaning in other words that it's not even a matter of, like in the previous part of the Mishnah, where you have one fossil one got mixed up with many kosher ones. We can actually be talking about even where it's one and one animal, shenevda bayavera, mixed up with one korban. And still, Rashi is learning that it would mean that it's still possible to bring as a korban. Different beforeshim talk about is that in fact so? Why Taka is Rashi explaining that way rather than explaining that we're talking about that it's in a roi? and so forth. The fact is that other Mepharshim do in fact explain that we're talking about that one korban is mixed up with many with many ones that are possible because nev the bayavera or whatever. So if they're mixed up with that. Or where the ox did kill somebody, but there weren't two aidim for it. There was only one aid who saw it, or the owner himself comes and says that my ox killed somebody. you can't give it skila. Now, when there's one aid, it's easy enough to understand. What about when the owner himself comes and says? So Rashi says, regular Rashi says, because murder b'knas potter, because this is considered a knas, and we have a general rule that when a person comes in and nits and based in, that he owes a certain knas, then he's potter from it. Tosfos discusses that and says that no, a different reason. Would be a different reason if there was another aid with him, then if there was another aid with him, maybe. But like this, we would also say Adam Karev Eitzel Mamone, a person is considered close and related to his mamon, and therefore he can't give aidus about it. So it would actually be so that's another reason why we can't kill him. So that would be another reason. The Shittur B'Kubetzus further asks on Rashi that this isn't really a knas that we execute the animal. This is because it killed. So therefore we have to kill it. So rather the Shittur B'Kubetzus brings a different point. Tosfos mentions the point of Odom Korav Eitzel Mamone, but they don't use that as the reason why. Tosfos uses the reason is because the Torah is telling us we have a pasuk that implies that you have a case of a Reveya Venirba that cannot be brought as a korban, or that killed a person that cannot be brought as a korban. And obviously we're not talking about where it has to be given skila. Of course you can't bring it as a korban. So the implication is even where it's mutter, because you don't have the evidence to execute it, nevertheless you can't bring it as a korban. So that itself demonstrates that when there's only one aid, or the owner himself comes and says, then those would be cases where you don't kill the animal, but nevertheless you can't bring it as a korban. And the Shittur B'Kubetzus mentions the point of Adam Korav Eitzel Mamone. So you have a few different reasons why if he himself comes and says, and based in my animal killed, or my animal was Reveya Venirba, why we wouldn't execute it. So you have various reasons for that. So now you have an animal of a korban got mixed up with one or more animals that are in that status of Reveya Venirba, or that killed a person, and we don't have enough evidence to have the animal killed. Actually, when we said before, shenevda by avera was a general expression that now the Mishnah is teaching out. There are various kinds of averas that can be done that in some cases will make the animal chayav nisa, and in other cases where it's not going to be chayav nisa, but nevertheless it's possible for a korban. So the first example is shehemis is the adam al piyadecha ve'al piyabayim, where it killed somebody, but there's no, you don't have two aidim, you only have one aid, or you only have the owner himself. Or the animal was used for bestiality, whether active or passive, the mukta, or the animal is, and again, we're talking about that was al-piyah violence, so again, it's not going to be killed. And again, here's where it actually points out that there's no yamusu, because they are mutter bahana, you're just not allowed to bring them as a korban. The only problem is that there's a korban mixed among them. You can't say that you sell them all because after all you have a tam between them, and you can't sell a korban. What Rashi says is you can't sell them to somebody who needs that type of korban, because again, all these animals are possible for korbanos, and you don't want to have that somebody is going to end up bringing an animal that is possible for a korban. Okay. The mukta, then you have an animal that is mukta, that was set aside to offer to Avodah Zarah. There are different understandings among the Rishonim whether muktzah means that it was set aside to bring as a korban for avodah zarah, or whether it means for avodah that they set it aside to use for avodah zarah itself. In fact, right here in Rashi, you have the words muktzah sheitzol tzorach tikroi v'savodas bechavim, that it's been set aside as a korban for avodah zarah, but the Birkas HaZevach takes out the word tikroi v'savodas in parenthesis, and in fact the Birkas HaZevach takes it out. So two different explanations of whether muktzah means that it was set aside for bringing out a korban to avodah zarah, or whether it was set aside for avodah zarah itself. Anyway, the Nevad, then you also have the Nevad, where the animal was actually worshipped as avodah zarah. Now, these kinds of things don't necessarily make the animal also b'hana. In the case of muktzah, the Gemara says elsewhere, in hekta shlava dezara, there's no such, unlike with our korbanos, where you can say this animal will be an ola, and now it has the kedusha of an ola. Lahavdil, a person says this animal will be a korban for such and such a getchka, it doesn't yet change its status as far as a head yet. A regular person at that point can shecht it and eat it, but we can't bring it as a korban. The same thing with the Nevad. The Gemara discusses in the Sefer Tzmura what exactly has to be done to the animal to make it Nevad, to make it that it would, what cases are there where the animal would actually be also Bahana? Basically, it has to be that they do some kind of Maisa in it to actually change it. So there are cases, there are cases, for example, they shear it through its wool and then designate it as an Avodah Zarah that way. Then there's a Maisa done in it, so then it'll actually be also Bahana and have to be destroyed like any avodah zarah. But when we're talking about over here, nothing like that was done. Someone just bowed down to it or something, or then that doesn't make it also. The Radvaz actually talks some detail about that. There can be a difference where the owner actually designated and said, I'm planning to use this animal for avodah zarah. But eventually the Goyish priests do something for it, and at that point they've done something that makes it that it's not going to be avodah zarah anymore. So therefore, but at that point, then the only thing it would be also of is because of tikrui, this is going to be brought as a korban. Anyway, again, so you have cases like that where a korban got mixed up with one or more such animals. So now, again, these animals are not also b'hana, but nevertheless, you can't bring them as korbanos. So what are we going to do? We're going to see further in the Mishnah. Another case, the Esran, if the animal of the korban got mixed up with Esran, or Mechir, Esran and Mechir are two Isurim back-to-back, in Parashas Kisei. So you're not allowed to bring Esnan Zoyna, the fee that was paid to a Zoyna to have relations with her. You give her an animal, then that animal becomes also to bring as a korban. Mechir would be if you exchange a dog for a different animal, then that different animal, a sheep, let's say, becomes also to bring as a korban. So those kinds of things. Again, it's mutter b'hana, but it is also to bring as a korban. B'kilayim, then you have, it gets mixed up with a kilayim animal, an animal that's a crossbreed of two different species. Even if both species are kosher, you're perfectly allowed to eat the animal, or they have to be, actually. The Gemara mentions in the Chordas that kosher and non-kosher species are not able to interbreed. So, in fact, the poskim sometimes talk about when you have an animal or a bird that's a suffix, whether you can eat it, one of the tests is whether it can interbreed with kosher species. Anyway, the point is that, the kilayim. So you have an animal that's kilayim, and then it's perfectly kosher, but you can't bring it as a korban. There are various miyotim in various places, and Gemara explains how we know that these things are awesome when it comes to that kill the person, or that's muktzah of a nevad and all that. So you have Rashi brings, you have a pasuk, where the pasuk says that you can bring korbanos min habehema, min habakar, or min hatzoin, min habehema teaches that each of them is a mute. So min habehema excludes reveya v'nirba, min habakar excludes nevad, and min hatzoin excludes muktzah. And then min hatzoin, where it says, also comes to exclude where it killed somebody. So all of those are on this night. When it comes to kilayim, the pasuk says shor oy chesed, an ox or a sheep, from which we learn it has to be completely ox or completely sheep, and not a hybrid. Or with trefa, or if the animal is a trefa, so you can't bring it as a korban. Because the pasuk says that again, Rashi brings because it says it's further on. We said before it says min ha behema, min ha bakar, or min ha tzoyin. But again, a few pesukim later, it also says min ha. It also says min ha bakar. So we have another miyut over there. So that teaches us not a tshefa. So now again, a tshefa animal got mixed up with a bunch of kosher ones, and we don't know which is which. Tosfos discusses over here the question. Wait a minute. So the Gemara first, the Gemara later on in the parak is going to ask, a tshefa, can't we tell? We'll find it. And the answer is that, so the Gemara gives an answer in the Gemara that you're talking about, for example, that this is a baby born to a tshefa mother, where according to some opinions, according to Rabbi Eliezer, such an animal is also. Such an animal is considered treifa itself, even though it itself does not have any of the injuries or conditions that will make it treifa. And then Rabbi Yana in the Gemara gives a different answer over there, that it has some kind of internal injury and you can't tell. So Tosfos brings up over here, Rabbeinu Ephraim brings up, wait a minute. So what are we going to say? The Mishnah is going to say that we have to leave them to wait. We wait until they develop a mum, and then we sell them. What good is it going to do to sell them? Somebody is going to buy them. It's going to end up that he bought a treifa animal. So he's not going to be able to eat any of them because they're all suffix treifa. You can't say you sell it to goyim or you sell it to Jews who are going to use them for animal food because we have a rule called ein poydin es hakodshim la'achil en laklovim. When you're going to redeem kodshim, as in this case, again, in this mixture somewhere, there's kodshim, you can't do it where the only thing that's going to be able to be done with it is that you feed it to dogs or to goyim who are able to eat treifa. And you can't even say that they should have hanah from it when they're alive, because it's psul hamakdoshin. It's a korban it's an animal that was meant to be brought as a korban, and now can't. And you're not allowed to shear such animals. You're not allowed to work with them. So what exactly is the case over here? You're talking about that you have a treifa mixed in among a bunch of other animals, and you can't tell which is which. Who's going to want to buy the whole mixture anyway? What are they going to do with it? So Tosfos talks about a couple of possibilities. First of all, there are certain treifas where there are internal injuries where you can indeed potentially check it afterwards. You have a case of drusa, for example. An animal was attacked and clawed by a wild animal, which we'll learn about in Cholim later this year, Be'ez Hashem. So you have the Gemara mentions that in principle you can check the internal organs and see if you see any reddening over there, which shows that it got infected. Nowadays, the Ramah writes, we're generally not expert to do such testing, and therefore, if an animal was clawed by a wild animal, we often say that it's also altogether, but in principle, you could check that kind of thing. So that you could have that. So you have this one treifa animal, got mixed up with a bunch of korbanos. So fine, what we'll do is we'll wait till they develop a mum, as the mission is going to go on to say. You sell them, whoever buys them will open them one by one and and check them and see if there's any of this reddening. So you have that. Another possibility is there are opinions that you could redeem kodshim even where all you can do is feed them to dogs. Tosfos goes and discusses various angles on that. So you have possibilities. So in short, in other words, you have possibilities of what you can do in this kind of case when you have a treifa mixed up with a bunch of other ones. So actually, Rav Yonis and Eibeshitz brings up a point in Crazy or Placey that. Why don't we just leave the animals alive for 12 months? And treifa ain't a chaya. The treifa won't live longer than 12 months. So the treifa one will die, and all the other ones will be mutter for korbanos again. So the crazy answers that you have a con. There is an opinion. We had it earlier in the Masechta called Balei Chayim Nidchin, that once something has been nidcha, once something was suitable for a korban and then became rejected, as in this case where a treifa got mixed up with it, then it can't become mutter afterwards, even though that reason for it being pushed aside doesn't apply anymore, and therefore that would be the case of, and therefore Tosfos therefore Tosfos would be assuming that would be the case over here. And therefore, that these animals are never going to be kosher for korbanos again. And therefore, even if we wait 12 months and the one of them dies, we can't say that was the one, and all the other ones are mutter. So, in any case, getting back to the Mishnah, another case of a yotze doifen. Another case is where animals of korbanos got mixed up with one or more animal that is yotze doifen that was born by C-section. We have a mute from the pasuk, because the pasuk says shoreh kesev ayez he yivoled, when it is born, from which we learn that it has to be born in the normal way and not by C-section. So in all those cases, again, so you have, so the first part of the Mishnah had talked about cases where the animal, where the mixed in animal or animals are also bahanach, atari samesis or sharaniskel. The following list in the Mishnah that we, the following list had been all things that are mutter bahanach, however they're possible for korbanos. So what do? Yiru ad sheyistavu, we let them graze until they develop a lung, v'yimachru, and we then, and we sell them. So we sell them. The yavi b'dmei yafash behem me'osamin, and we use the value of the the best one of them for that type of korban. Meaning, so we had, let's say, an animal got mixed up with a bunch of other with a bunch of animals in these categories over here. So we say, for example, let's figure out which one of the, we don't know which is which. Which of the animals has the highest value? Once they develop them, so let's say one of them is worth $1,000. So fine. Once we sell them, we'll take $1,000 out of the, so what we'll do is we'll wait till they all develop a mum. Now we'll say, we'll take $1,000 and we'll say if this one was the, and if this one was, whichever of the animals in this mixture, that was the oila, is now mechulal, is now where the kedusha has been transferred to this $1,000, and then we use this $1,000 to buy to buy another animal for a korban, and this time we make sure it doesn't get mixed up, and we actually go and bring it as a korban. So that's how we do. Tosfos points out that so Rashi is saying Zmei Hayofa Shebehem, meaning the value of the nicest, best one. But what about if the other way around? The Gemara is going to explain again that we're talking about that a small number of psulim got mixed up in a larger number of kshirim. So rather, Tosfos says that what it means is Zmei Hayofa Shebehem means you're going to have to redeem each one of them, each one, the nicest, the second nicest, the third nicest, and so forth, until you get down to the cheapest one. That one you won't, because that one you won't be machalo. Because by this point we assume, in other words, the idea would be by this point we assume that we've been mechalal the one that was the by this point we assume that we've been mechalal the one that was the original oila, and therefore. And therefore, we're good. So in other words, according to Rashi, we only have to be mechalal one of them. According to Tosfos, we have to be mechalal most of them. Next, continues the Mishnah. Kodshim b'kodshim, nisarva b'cholim t'minim. Suppose that animals of kodshim get mixed up with animals that are cholim, that are tam, which themselves could be brought as a korban. So now you don't have such a problem. Yimachra cholim, tzorcha esamin, sell all the cholim to people who need that type of korban. So you have one animal for an oila, got mixed up with 100 other animals. Fine, you have 101 animals for sale. These animals are for sale to anybody who needs an oila. So whoever needs, people will buy them, and each one will be brought on behalf of the person who owns it. What about kodshim b'kodshim? So what we'll do is the kohen will have in mind basically that each one. So Reuben bought this one, Shimon bought this one, Levi bought this one. So each one will have in mind for the person, but he'll also have in mind in case this one was the one that originally belonged to Yehuda, who got mixed up with the others. So it's also in case it needs to be a Flashen Yehuda. Okay. What about kodshim b'kodshim? What about an animal of kodshim got mixed up with other animals of kodshim? So it depends. Min b'minoi. If they're both the same type, let's say Oilus got mixed up with Oilus, no problem. Each one you bring the korban on behalf of the actual owner of the korban. So the korban will say basically, if this one is Reuven's, then it's Reuven's, and if it's Shimon's, then it's Shimon's, and have in mind by each one in the mixture. So he'll say it'll be the shame by them. It'll be in the name of the actual owner of it. Tosfos points out at the very beginning of the Masechta, we learn that the Chachamim made a takana, you shouldn't say L'shem Bailim, because you might come to say the wrong person, and thereby pass the korban. So rather, what it means is, Itaka won't have anything specific in mind at all, he'll just And it'll be that whichever he won't specifically have in mind with Shane Ryland, he'll just bring it without having anything specific in mind, rely on that Schneidbastian that we learned about at the beginning of the Sefer. So therefore, so it just means, in other words, he shrets it stand without that particular kavana, and it'll be considered Lashane Bible. So that works when it's all the same, when it's all the same type, all olas, for example. What about kodshim, the kodshim min b'she'enim, you know? What about when there are different types of korban? So an ola gets mixed up with chatos. So you don't even have now let's say, for example, olas with chatos, Rashi Ksavyad points out, the fact is that the blood is not applied to the mizbeach in the same way, so now you have a problem. What are you going to do? In other words, the implication would seem to be that if the application of blood was the same, then it might not be a problem. Regular Rashi gives over here a different example, an Ola or a Shlomim, where the application of blood and the Emurim is not the same thing. But what would be if the application was the same? After all, Ola and Shlomim do both have Shtei Matanos Shtei Nava. What if it was both the same? Then would that necessarily be an issue? Maybe not. Anyway, what do we do now? So again, you have an Ola got mixed up with a Chatos, or an Ola with a Shlomim, or whatever. So now, again, Yiruachi Stavu. Again, we have to leave the animals to graze until they develop a mum. V'yimachu, and then we sell them. Now Rashi has two explanations here. In the first explanation, Rashi says you're selling them, so that way the one that was an Ola is being sold, that way you, and then you're taking the money that you got for the one of them and using it for an Ola, and the one that you got for the other one and using it for a Shlomim. So fine, what you're gonna have to do is, now the animals are worth different amounts. Let's say, for example, one was worth $1,000, the other is worth $900, so you can't just take $1,900, because what if it happens, you don't know whether the Ola or the Shlomim was worth $1,000. Fine, we'll have to take $2,000 on the supposition. Each one is not worth more than $1,000, so you have to take $2,000, and you'll say $1,000 will go for an Ola and $1,000 will go for a Shlomim. So you'll have to spend an extra $100. So therefore, pointing out gears, so we do in fact say the Yimachu. Rashi's second explanation, though, is we don't have the word the Yimachu, is that you don't actually sell them, you're just mechalal them on money. And Rashi points out that later in the Mishnah, it mentions Bechor and Meiser, and the fact is you're not allowed to sell a Bechor or Meiser, so therefore we have to say, like we're saying over here, that you're mechalal them. So in this case over here, so again, different gersois, whether in fact we are selling them or not. Anyway, the Yavi b'dmeha yofa shebehen, or b'dmeha miminzeh, or b'dmeha yofa shebehen miminzeh, then what he does is he takes the value of the larger one, and uses it to buy an animal for a korban of this type, and the value of the larger one of a korban of this type. So again, in our example, he's gonna take $1,000, and he sold the two animals together for $1,900, let's say. So now he's gonna take $1,000, because one of them was worth $1,000, and we don't know which is which, and use that for an ola, and another $1,000 for a shlamin, the yaksid on Moshe Nebesa, and then he has to lose the extra amount from his house. In other words, he has to take $100 out of his pocket above and beyond the $1,900 he sold it for. So that will work also. And that way so that way the matter has been taken care of. The animals themselves are not being brought as korbanos, because we waited until they developed the mum, but the value of them is being used for korbanos, no problem. What about nisarhu b'chor of a meiser? What happens if the other korbanos, the olah or shlomim or what have you, are mixed up with b'chor of a meiser? Now the problem is, unlike most korbanos, that you can be poida once they develop a mum, b'chor and meiser you can't. And again, you can't just be makriv them, because they have different, there's completely different ways that they're offered on the mizbeach. The olah has to be completely burnt on the mizbeach. The b'chor and the meiser, the application of blood is different. As we learned in Perek Ezer Makoriman, the b'chor and meiser have their blood applied dum matona achas kenegad ha'yisoid, as opposed to the olah is shtei matona shen olah. What we do with the meat of it, of course, is also completely different, because the olah is burnt and the b'chor and meiser are eaten. For that matter, an oil also requires mishachim, and b'chor and meiser don't. So what do we do then? So then again, you actually stavu. We have to wait till we have to let them graze until they develop a mum. The yachlo to b'chor or meiser, and then what we do is now we're mechalo the original kodshim animal, so now we're able to eat it. It has the rules. Psilamakdushin. There are certain rules about eating it, but basically we can eat it at this point. And then, so we eat them with the kedusha of bechor and meiser, namely that they can't be sold the way that ordinary meat would be sold. They can't be weighed in the way that ordinary meat is weighed, because that those are the rules by bechor and meiser. We're going to learn masechta bechoros in a few months, Master Shem, that. When it comes to most korbanos, most psulam akdoshin, you are able to do that. You are able to sell them, and then the meat can be consumed more or less like ordinary meat, and they can be sold more or less like ordinary meat. But when it comes to bechor and meiser, you don't have that. The reason behind it basically is like this: psulam akdoshin, when you redeem, when you exchange them for money, the money is going to go to heklish. So therefore, we want to encourage that it should be able to be sold in a way that people are going to be willing to buy. Namely, that you're going to measure it out, and you're going to weigh it out in the ordinary and sell it in the butcher shops in the ordinary way. But when it comes to bechor and meiser, when you redeem them, you're going to be keeping the money. So therefore, so the chum don't want to have that. So they don't want to have, because of that, you should be able to treat kodshim disrespectfully. So therefore, so we have the rule that you can't sell them in the regular meat market, and you can't weigh them in the normal way. So over here, what we're saying is that that's what we do. Then we eat them. So we redeem them, and then we eat them as though they were bechor, and or as though they were meitzah. And the Mishnah finishes off. Hakol yechulnis out of chutz menachatas va'asham. You should know when it comes to korbanos getting mixed up, any korbanos can get mixed up, except for chatas and asham. Because a chatas is going to be a female sheep or female goat, and an osham is going to be a male sheep. In most cases of osham, it's going to be an adult male sheep or ram. In some cases, it's going to be a baby. So a chatas and an osham are not able to get mixed up. But as far as other kodrin, it is possible for them to get mixed up. We'll see. The Gemara will address that point later on in the parak about what the Mishnah is coming to tell us with that. And aren't there any other cases that could conceivably get mixed? Aren't there maybe cases of chatas and osham that conceivably could get mixed up? And fakir, are there maybe other korbanos that can't? Okay. So the Gemara starts off. My afilu, in the beginning of the mission, we said that a korban got mixed up with chatoris hamesis or with a shor hamisko. Afilu achadili, even 1 in 10,000. So what does afilu mean? If it's 1 in 10,000, of course, there's much more reason to say that should be bought. So the answer is hachi kama. What the mission means is the other way around. Kol hazvachim. The other way around, you have many korbanos. You have even 10,000 animals of korbanos, and one chatas hamesa or one shor hanisko gets mixed up among them. Then you're saying it's still not bottle, because again, animals are not bottle, and everything that we talked about before in terms of are there any possibilities of it being bottle on the Mishnah is stalling all of that and saying that not. So the Gemara asks, well, in that case, Tanena Chodazim. Well, we already have a Mishnah. If we have a Mishnah in Masechta Tzmura that says just that. Kol ha'asurim l'gabim is there. Any animals that are also to offer on the Mizbeach, Ustin b'chol shehein, they answer any others that they're mixed up with, even b'chol shehein, and for example, Harevei Avan Nirva, and it goes and gives examples. Harevei Avan Nirva of our Mishnah, where it was used for bestiality and whatever, and so see already from there that one animal getting mixed in with hundreds of thousands of others still asters them. So what exactly is the chiddush of our? So what exactly is the chiddush of our mission? Now the choyk nosan on our Gemara points out that the our Mishnah had not said how many they got mixed up in. Now the ratio of our Mishnah did. The ratio of our Mishnah said achas b'riboy even if it was one in 10,000. The end of the Mishnah, when we talk about, for example, Revea Venirba and the rest of those psulim, the continuation of the Mishnah, did not, in fact, mention a number. So therefore, the Gemara didn't ask from on Mishnah itself, because you could say maybe it means that it was mixed one in one, like Rashi had said before. But the Mishnah in Tzmura makes it very clear that we're talking about, no matter how many it says over there, that Afilu Echad Venirboi. So the question is, then, what's the chiddush of our Mishnah? So the Gemara says, Omer Rav Ashi, Amrit to the Shmaita Kamedin of Shimi. Rav Ashi says, I told over this discussion to Rav Shimi, Va'atzrichon, and he showed me why both Mitznayas are necessary. The email Halsem, if we only had the Mishnah in Tzmura, Hava Minahani Milula Gavoya. You would say, you know why there's no Bittul? Because you're talking about things over there. You're talking about that they're also to bring as a korban. So yeah, you have a Reveya Venirba, which is also to bring as a korban, and therefore one Reveya Venirba gets mixed up with a bunch of other animals of korbanos, then we can't use them. Aval Lahenget, but when it comes to, so that's when they're only also the Gavoya. Reveya Venirba, again, are perfectly mutter for a Hedget, so therefore we're going to say that, let's wait till they develop a mum and sell them, and then this way we're not wasting the animals. This way eventually the animals will get used and eaten by a hedyot, just not as korbanos. Avol hedyot, but for cases of the beginning of our Mishnah, where it talks about the shoran niskol or the chatoris hamesis, where they are in fact also to a hedyot as well, and therefore they're going to have to be left to die. Emalo, you would think that not. Maybe the chachamim are not going to be so machmir. And we would allow them to, maybe we would say that it should be bottle. So maybe we should say that at least they should be bottle, and we should allow them again to wait. We should allow to wait till they develop a mum and then sell them, and we'll say that the one that was also b'hana is going to be bottle. That's where the Rashi, the regular Rashi, says that. Rashi Samyad says a little differently. That maybe we would say that since they're also even Lahedyot, maybe since otherwise, again, the only thing we could do is Misa, maybe the Chacham would say that we could actually be able to offer the actual animals one by one, and at the end we'll leave over one that we won't, and we'll say that will be the one. We'll assume that will be the one that was also. We're going to learn later in the parak that such things sometimes are possible when you have a mixture like that. Sometimes you're able to use them one by one and attribute and say the statistically possible one is probably not that one. So two explanations of Shini is saying, if we only had that Mishnah, then you would say, fine, Revei Avanirva, you have an alternative. As our Mishnah had said, you can leave them to develop a mum, etc., and at least they won't go to waste. So then, fine, we don't want any of them to be brought as korbanos. But in the case of Hatoris and Mesis or Charanisco, either we should say, go ahead and actually bring them one by one as korbanos and assume that each one is not it. Well, fine. Even if you don't want to do that, then at least we should allow them to graze until they develop a mum and sell them and say that they'll be bottled that way. So you would think not. So our Mishnah needs to tell you that no. The Imei Hocha, on the other hand, if you only had our Mishnah in Zvachim, Havamina, Hani di Isurano, Hani hu di Isurano, and you would say, Fakir, Hatar Samesis, and the Sharanisto, they're not Botel Beroi because they are also Bahana. Avonhani, but the Revea of Nirba and the rest of the ones mentioned in the Mishnah in Tzmura, which are mutter for a hedyot, emaloi. Maybe the Chacham are not even saying that they should not be bottled. Maybe the Chacham are saying that they can be bottled, and they're not even going to ask for the whole mixture, and you could in fact bring most of the mixture as korbanos. Srichi, so therefore both Mishnayos are needed to tell us that either way, whether they're also b'hanah, whether they're not also b'hanah, in neither case are they bottled, because animals are choshev and they're not bottled. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? The lab is sura anon in uhatona. Like, what do you mean? Our Mishnah continues by talking about the not isura anon. So the way he says that the Revei of Nirba and the rest of that list. So we already know from our Mishnah that they're not bottled. So why do we need the Mishnah in Tzmura? And the answer is mikatoni b'kama, because our Mishnah does not say how many are mixed in. The fact that they're asking is only over there in Tzmura, and therefore we need that Mishnah in Tzmura. This is in parenthesis over here because you have a different views over here that is instead of Bakama Koshken Hosen Patoni, instead it should be Mikatoni Bakol. Does it say in our Mishnah Bakol Shahu? It only says that over there. So same thing, but a different lotion of how it would be phrased. Okay, so the Gemara says Vinisni Hovalei Boiha. Well, fine. Still, why do we need both Mishnayos? Once we started by saying we need both Mishnayos because we would have thought our Mishnah is talking about only Yisurei Hanah, but it's not talking about the ones that are not Osav Hanah, the ones that are Mutter to a Hedyot. So we're saying that no, because the fact is our Mishnah does mention those as well. And he's saying the fact is the Mishnah in Tzemuda introduces the concept of even if it's Kol Shehu, even if it's one in a large majority. But then in that case, so fine, have only the Mishnah in Tzemuda, don't have our Mishnah. What are we learning from our Mishnah that we don't from the Mishnah in Tzemuda? And the answer is Takante, Tzimchalei. The answer is our Mishnah is telling us the Takana. What you do that you leave them to graze until they develop a Mum Metzeh. So far, that's what we're saying. The difference is our Mishnah. So the our Mishnah and the Mishnah in Tzemuda complement one another. Ours talks about the case of Isurei Hanah and makes it clear that they're not bottle, which we don't have in the Mishnah in Tzemuda. On the other hand, our Mishnah does talk about also where they're not also Hanah, but it doesn't say in how many they're not going to be bottle. The Mishnah in Tzemuda makes that clear. On the other hand, our Mishnah says what you should do in the case of Shmichu, which the Mishnah in Tzemuda doesn't. So the Gemara will continue the discussion, and we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, about more details within the Mishnah, sort of contrasting the Mishnah over here versus the Mishnah in Tzemuda about what we're learning, what the Chiddush is in each place, and therefore ultimately why we need both Mishnahs.